We're going to turn it to the Psalms tonight as well, but we're going to go to a different place. We're going to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, one of my favorite Bible characters. Of course, everyone wants to say, well, my favorite character is Jesus. Well, of course he is. But my favorite character in the Old Testament is David. And I've done a lot of reading on David and some studying. And I've taught some on David. I'm adding some more notes, other things about the life of David. Maybe I'll get around one day to teaching that. I really enjoy it. But tonight we're going to look at one of his psalms. But Psalm 34. Some of you may have it in your Bible. Anybody have it in their Bible written about when this was written, or what may have just taken place, or what David may be writing about there in Psalm 34? Anybody have any notes like that in their Bible? Yeah. What? Someone else had that in their Bible as well. When he changed his behavior. Anybody know where that's located? Where's that at? It's in Samuel. Yeah, 1 Samuel. So let's go ahead and turn over there and read that before we go into our study. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. When we think of David, often we think of, you know, we think of the king. I mean, he's a great king. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. But we also remember some of the things and the sin that he fell into. And we remember a couple of things that were really big, whether it be the sin with Bathsheba or the sin with Bathsheba's husband and sending him to the front lines for him to be killed. We think of those things. But even all through David went through, all the things that he did, good and bad, God still said that he was a great man. A man after God's own heart. And part of that is because he kept short accounts. He handled things when he was confronted with the Holy Spirit, when he was confronted by the prophet. He didn't make excuses. He made it right. And that's a key thing. And here David has gotten himself in a jam, and I won't take the time to read all of 1 Samuel 21, but I did ask for some volunteers of our bearded men in the church if they would come up here and scratch on a pulpit and let spittle run down their beard. I couldn't get anybody to do it. Couldn't get anybody to do it. I only asked a couple. Now I'm looking out. I guess I could have asked Brother Garcia, Sam, Kevin, Brother Seen over there. He's got it. Oh, yeah, Clay's got one too. But, Dr. Hottie back there has got a little growth going on too. But I asked a couple of men in the back, and I couldn't get any takers. So you'll have to use your imagination. David has, you know, he's on the run from King Saul. And he finds himself, like, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in the camp of the enemy. For us, of course, it would be Satan in the world. And because he is being called on the carpet and someone questioning who he is, and so let's pick up to where they begin to question about what's going on. And in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 21, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Boy, pretty much the whole world knew. Verse 12, "And David laid up those words in his heart and was sore." What's your words, next word? Afraid. Afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. "And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the door of the gate and let the spittle fall down his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see that the man is mad? Whereunto then have you brought him unto me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come to my house?" So pretty much David's going to escape out of this circumstance because King Achish said, this guy's a lunatic. But even through that, we're going to jump over to Psalm 34. And David's going to write a little bit about a few things in Psalm 34. As this has recently happened, it's in his heart and in his mind, and he's writing this psalm in Psalm 34. And I've entitled the thought, and I've just wrote a few notes down today, so we shouldn't be too long, but again, that doesn't mean anything. We'll see if we can get through them quickly. But in Psalm 34, just talk a little bit about God's people are happy. God's people are happy. And I'm going to give you five reasons. I'm sure there's a whole lot more of why God's people are happy, or at least should be happy. So let's read some of this psalm together, and we'll go back and I'll share a few things. And I won't go into depth a whole lot, but just want to share a few things with you. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear therefore and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, can you imagine writing something like that after you just let spittle run down your face and you were scared to death, called a lunatic and ran out of town? Could you sit down and write something like this? David, without a doubt, he's a happy man. I got out of there. Have we ever been there in a fix? Felt like, Lord, if you just get me out of here. Did we write about it? Is it recorded for everyone to read about it? No. But David here has penned this. The Lord has used this and the source to be a blessing to us. And we should be happy. Let's go a little further in verse number 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that ye may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are unto them that cry. The fear of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And you can cross-reference that with Nehemiah 8:10, and the Lord encourages us there as well as it refers to the goodness of the Lord. And then we'll look to that in just a moment. But I just jotted down a few verses tonight and hope to be a blessing. God's people are happy, number one, in verse 4, because our fears are vanished. Think about there in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me out and delivered me from all of my fears. What's the old song go? There's no reason to fear when Jesus is near. So often we what did Job say? That which I have greatly feared has come upon me. Sometimes we bring the fear upon ourselves as opposed to really and looking to the Word of God. Fears are vanished for those God's people are happy because their fears are vanished. Number 2 and verse 6, because prayers are answered. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I guarantee you, while he was scratching at the door and spittle was running down his beard, David was doing some praying. There's no doubt. How am I going to get out of here? Because they recognize who I am. I'm the enemy. I'm the king. They're talking about what the folks sing about me and all the heroics of my life. His prayers were answered. Folks, that's why we should be a happy people, because our fears are vanished, our prayers are answered. But there's a key thing there about our fears being vanished, only if we allow the Lord to do it. There's a key thing about our prayers being answered, as long as we talk to him and trust him in it. And then number 3, our enemies are scattered in verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what's going on around us, folks, I'll be honest with you. Let's think about this. Why didn't King Achish go ahead and kill David? They knew he's the enemy. Okay, he's mad. Well, I'm not taking this madman home with me. Get rid of him. But yet we know that's not what took place. God took care of him. God provided. God protected him. His enemies were scattered. In this sense, in a way, he was kind of scattered as they scattered, and God protected him. Number 4, our needs are supplied. verse 9 and verse 10. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, but suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, I just need to remember, just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're not ever going to have some needs. We will at times. But the key part of that verse in verse 9 is those that fear him. Do we have the right reverential fear? Again, like I spoke of last week, not the fear like we had of daddy who was going to whoop us when he got home because we misbehaved. Talking about the reverential fear, the honor of God, and trusting him to provide that which we need. And guess what? Sometimes he throws us a once on top. I call that gravy. He just gives us the extras because he loves his children. God's people are happy because their fears are vanished. Their prayers are answered. Their enemies are scattered. Their needs are supplied. How's the old song go? Every need supplied. And then number 5, because their future is secured. Look at verse 19 and verse 22. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And then verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Wasn't it wonderful to know that not only is our future secure in knowing that we have a home in heaven, but our future is secured in things that are taking place no matter what's going on. Michelle and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories and politics tonight, but I'll say this and I'll move on. Are we not shocked when we look back and how we were conditioned and what took place in COVID? How we are conditioned to just take something, whether it be the mark of the beast or something. It's like we were conditioned. I was surprised of how many Christians that were so willingly, without praying, considering, or thinking. And everyone has to make their own decision. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes, do we ask the questions? Or do we just say, okay, whatever you say? Or do we ask the questions? Do we pray about it? Do we investigate it? Do we look to scriptures? And I think we as a people should pray and look to the Lord, get good counsel. And if you don't trust your doctor, excuse me, find one that you do. But in trusting, have that trust in our doctor as well. Here, as we look at our future being secured, we may know the future and we may have some reservation on how we're going to get there. But in the meantime, we do not have to allow what's going on in this crazy world to disrupt us, because we need to be reminded that our fears can be vanished. Our prayers can be answered. Our enemies can and will be scattered as we trust him. Our needs can and will be supplied as we need them. We have example after example how God provided and fed his servants when and as they needed it. And then our future is secure. Now look back in verse 1 through 3 one more time. Then we're going to go back to 1 Samuel and we'll be done. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, referring to my soul making my mouth to boast. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hey, folks, right there, that's a happy man. I got out of that jam. And he's writing about it. He's joyful. He's happy for what God did for him and with him. But God wasn't through with David after that situation. Now, imagine, had David at that time been taken captive, or the Lord allowed King Achish's men to snuff out David, we would have much less of David's life going forward. We'd have had much less things to look at for the scripture and the word of God and how God used David. Never allow Satan to discourage you. And go back to 1 Samuel 21. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 22 just for a couple minutes and we'll be through. Don't ever allow Satan to discourage you because of the mistakes of your past, mistakes of maybe the near past or the present, to discourage you from God using you. David found himself in the enemy's camp. And we can apply that today in the sense of being in the world. We can continue to wallow in the world, or we can realize and wake up, hey, I've made a mistake. I don't belong here. What do I need to do to get out? And David decided to let the spittle run down his face and act like a madman, and God got him out. But God got him out for a purpose. And this is another lesson for another time, but notice if we jump up to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll just read a couple passages of scripture. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now, this is a little Douglas theology. I feel like David probably, he escaped, went down because he wanted to be by himself. Maybe he wanted to get his thoughts and his mind together, wrapped around some things. He wanted to be alone, or he would have went back to his family. He went into a cave. But yet, no telegraph, no telephone, and no telewoman was available. I love you, ladies. I'm just teasing. But somehow, they found out. Notice here in verse 3. Help me out. And everyone that was what? In? And everyone that was? And everyone that was? Gathered themselves together with him. Now, it sounds like that was a motley crew. I mean, all those who couldn't pay their bill, those who are running from the law, those who are having a difficult time, they thought, man, let's go down and join David. I've often thought, how do they find out? But here they are. And it says in verse, the latter part, it says, and he became. Now, I've circled that word became in my Bible, and I'll tell you why. And he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. That became, it refers to, it was a process of time. He did not become their captain overnight. I don't know exactly how big that cave was, but a little reading, a little research, I found out some believe that cave was probably larger than this building itself and had different shootouts in different areas. But just the main cave was maybe this size or maybe a little small, a little larger, had other paths going here and out. I don't know. Taught them to march, taught them to play the harp, taught them to use a slingshot, taught them to use a staff. I don't know, but he became their captain. And they said there were how many men? 400. Now, we don't have time tonight, but if you jump over to 2 Samuel, you'll find out that these 400 mighty men, these 400 men of misfits, some of them now are called mighty men. Mighty men. Folks, never think that God is through with you. Never think that you're at the point that, man, it's all over, it's curtains for me. And then the Lord gets you out, and then you're not going to go on and serve him? How many Christians we have today that are just thrown in the towel because they've messed up? Okay, the Lord has forgiven me, but how can I ever show my face? How can I ever do anything? Nowhere in the Bible do we see anybody laughing and say, yeah, let's go join that guy that slobbered all over himself and feigned a madman. No. They heard he was there. He went, these misfits went there, 400 of them. And the Bible says he became captain over them. It was a process of time. Just give me a second. I'm going to look at something, another thought here. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'll just read it and we'll be through. In verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And they begin to list some of the men. Hey, back in 1 Samuel 22, they were misfits. And now, 2 Samuel chapter 19, somewhere around about there, they are now, some of these men are considered to be mighty men. All from someone who feigned the madman in order to escape, who had been running from the king, and everyone that was in distress, everyone that couldn't pay their bills, everyone that was suffering, joined themselves together. Somebody had to make a decision. And David decided, I'm not going to wall around with these guys, and we're not going to sit around here and cry and murmur and complain and make excuses about the king and what's going on. He decided to stand up and become a leader. And God used him. Folks, I don't know about you. That refers me right back again to Psalm 34, as David wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And he took those principles. He wrote in Psalm 34 and he taught those men. And some of those men became mighty men. Folks, I can't wait to see what God does in my life and the life of Harvest Baptist Church and moving forward until the Lord returns. God's not finished. Just because chaos is going on around us doesn't mean that God can't work in this cave. Doesn't mean that God can't work among his people to make a great impact. Look around, decide who you can lead and encourage, and do it. Allow God to use us, because God's people are a happy people. Because of all that we read about tonight, he supplies our needs. We can throw in some more. He forgives us of our sins. There's so much more that we could add to that that might not have been in Psalm 34. Let me challenge you and encourage you when you read your Bible. When you read the Psalms and it talks about how it's tied to the character, David or whoever it may be, go back and find out the backdrop. Go back and find out the rest of the story and how it's applied and how it's an encouragement. Boy, folks, I don't know about you, that encourages me. God could take David after what he did and these men that were considered misfits, and God raised them up and developed a great army for his honor and for his glory. I don't know how they learned all what they learned in that cave, but they learned something. And they had to have a leader, and they had to have those that followed. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Father, thank you for the word and things that we can learn and glean. Lord, those things that may have been written thousands of years ago, how we can make application today for our lives to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us, to convict us. And Lord, we are so grateful for that. So Lord, help us to apply it that we might be better servants. And Father, help us to be a happy people because of what you've done for us and what you desire to do through us. And we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, as always, God.